Glory to God. Come on, they say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Come on, you know who he is. Come on, you ought to worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise unto God. Come on. Come on, God, our Father, we thank you for the joy of worship. Didn't have to be here. Saints of old used to declare that we could have been dead and sleeping in our graves. But you let our golden moments. And Lord, there's a testimony in that all by itself. They referred to them as golden moments. They weren't bitter nor sour. They weren't whining and complaining about wrestling with the vicissitudes of life. They didn't vacillate between, okay, we love you, but now we're not happy. They said you allowed their golden moments to just roll on. And God, you keep us rolling. Though we rise and we fall, we're still rolling. Though we are not always where we ought to be, we're still rolling. And so, God, we bless your name. And Lord, we declare, as the writer declared, it's just good for us to be here. And since we're here, we might as well lift up and magnify your name. Since we're here, we might as well praise you. We might as well sing our little song and get our little happy on in the Lord. Because this may be our last time. We just don't know. The enemy chooses to sneak up on us, Lord, sometime. Catch us when we're not aware. And Mama taught us to pray a little simple prayer that said, now lay me down to sleep. And so, God, every now and then, we don't know if we're going to wake up or not. Well, Lord, matter of fact, we never know if we're going to wake up. But there's a line in that little ditty, that little prayer, that said, if I should die before I wake, we know that our life is in your hands. And so, God, while we're yet alive, the blood is running warm in our veins, we're going to praise you. We're going to bless your name. We're going to listen to what you're saying to the church. Because we know preaching is for the living. So speak to us, we pray. And God, don't let the sun go down without us being smart about this. Wiser. More thoroughly equipped. In the name of Jesus. And God, please forgive us of our sins. Lord, have mercy on us. We need your mercy. So God, use me, I pray, that I might stand here just a little while. Declare from the book of life these words of life. Let somebody, Lord, be saved today. Change somebody's life. God, give them ample room to make a U-turn. So that they'll find themselves at your feet. The devil is a liar. We can make it. We can be saved. We will survive. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen. Amen. And amen. Go ahead and put your blessed hands together. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on, come on, bless the Lord. Come on, come on, lift him, lift him. Take him on up a little higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen. God bless you again. Thank you so much, choir. That's a blessing. We're set up for blessing. Grab your Bibles, smartphones, tablets. Those of you, let me see, how many iPhone 6 folk? Who done bought the new iPhone 6? Nobody yet? No, y'all don't want me to know. If I find out you bought an iPhone 6, I'm going to go look at your tithe report. That's why y'all won't tell me. Amen. But turn on your smart devices and go to the third John offering. Third John offering is 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Amen. Third, that's near the end of the Bible. So if you start from the back, you'll get there real quick. Amen. Not John chapter 3 now. Don't do that. Because when I start reading, you're going to say, that's not in my Bible. So we're going to do 3 John. Amen. And we're going to look at verse 2. And those of you who have optional choices of versions in your smart devices, whichever one you've chosen, that's all right. I'm going to read 3 of them today. Amen. Because all 3 of them blend into what I want to talk about for the next few minutes I have. Amen. From the New Living Translation, it says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth." New King James Version. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And from the Message Bible, "We're the best of friends, and I pray for good fortune in everything you do and for your good health, that your everyday affairs prosper, as well as your soul. I was most happy when some friends arrived and brought the news that you persist in following the way of truth. Nothing could make me happier than getting reports that my children continue diligently in the way of the truth." Do me a favor, beloved of God. If you just fix a good smile on your face and look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you make me happy." Amen. Bless you. I said to you last week, ushers, thank you so much. I said to you last week that we were going to defeat the deficit of love that existed in our church and that we would attack it with all due diligence by manufacturing and maximizing our love, one for the other. I use very carefully the word manufacturing because manufacturing would some ways connotate to some that it's not going to be real. But can I ask you a silly, simple question in my sermon? Is not everything manufactured real? They manufacture cars. They're real. They manufacture other goods and services, and they are real. So can we not legitimately say to our neighbor that we are going to manufacture love? Y'all didn't catch that. I mean, if we were in the business of making, would we not desire to make a product that is going to be profitable, useful to somebody? Can you imagine, beloved of God, the shingle that you hang on your factory as you manufacture love. Let me see if I can get you to wake up, because some of y'all is obviously tired. Things go better with. Okay, three of y'all know that. Love makes the world go. Okay, now y'all get it. Those are statements that symbolize something greater than even the statement itself. Companies create slogans so that we will remember them, but more than anything, they want you to remember their product. That's why they make these beautiful posters, and their commercials are vibrant and flashing with lights and color, so that you will remember their product. You don't necessarily know who did it, but you know what they do. And so we would encourage you today to understand that part of what the gospel requires is that we manufacture a good product. Amen. And you know you're going to be known by the validity of your product. Does it do what it's supposed to do? Is there anyone that has ever asked the question, does love do what love's supposed to do? I mean, can you ask your neighbor, does your love work? No, seriously, that was a question for you to ask. Does what you do work? Can you really say that you love me, and I'll know that you love me because your love works? Can you say that you're praying for me, and I'll know that you're praying for me because your prayers work? Can you say that you're concerned about me, and I'll know that you're concerned because your concern works? And I would encourage you, beloved of God, to know that that's really what the writer is trying to get across to us, is that what you say you are and what you say you do and what you say you're about and what you say you care about and what you say you care for me ought to work. Because if it ain't working, it ain't because I'm not letting it work. Maybe it's because you ain't working it so that it will work. Now, notice the language. I'll be going here quickly. Notice he said, listen, dear friend, dear brother, dear loved one, dear beloved of God, this is how I feel about you. Notice the letter does not indicate to us that he was asked to write this letter or asked to make these statements. They were statements from his heart. Can I get you to come online with me for just a moment and admit that there are those persons who, if you don't say something to them, they're not going to say nothing to you? And anybody got that kind of thing going on? Well, we need to do something about that. Because in order for us to be genuine, genuine has to be what we are. I asked a question in Christian Academy this morning, and we chuckled about it, but I asked the question, how many of us know phony people? And folks start flipping over the pews, jumping up and down, saying, I know them, me first. No, they didn't go that far. It was close. But the reality is that he writes this letter to a friend because he wants his friend to know that he makes him happy. How many of you make those happy phone calls just because somebody, as we like to say, ran across our mind? You know, we thought about them and we call them. My mother is an interesting woman because I can call her sometimes, and she's from the old school. Let me see if some of you old school folk remember this one. She says to me when I call her sometimes, baby, you're going to live a long time, because I had you on my mind. Any of y'all got that old saying from old school? When people call you like that out of the blue and you were thinking about them, you think that's a sign of longevity. I pray God that mama knows what she's talking about. Say amen, somebody. And he said, listen, dear friend, dear beloved. He said, I want you to understand that you make me happy. He says in the summary of the letter, as he gets ready to talk to his next friend, because they're actually, just for your learning particulars here, there are three friends that are addressed in these letters. But I just want to talk about the first friend. But before he moves on to the next friend, he summarizes his salutation by saying to him, you just make me happy. Is there anybody in this room that's got a few friends that just because they come around, they make you happy? Just because you look on your little cell phone and see who it is, they make you happy? How many of you got special ringtones for special people?
Amen. That way when it rings, you know who it is. Some of y'all don't want to talk to me because you think I'm going to get all up in your business. But the reality is, I believe that as Christians, I believe as the elect of God, as the chosen and delivered from our death and our sin, we ought to have a whole lot of folk around us that just make us happy. None of us should be regulated to having just two or three friends in our lives. In fact, we ought to have more friends than we got money. That way we'll never be broke. Y'all missed that. I'm telling you now that he says, you just make me happy. It did me good to know that you were doing all right. Look at your name and say, I pray you're doing all right. Listen, we're going to be done here particularly. He said, listen, I want you to understand that as a disciple in the same church that I am, as a part of my community, as a fellow of my constituency, I want you to know that I care about your happiness because your happiness makes me happy. Have you ever been around people who are not happy and notice how it drains some of the happiness out of your happy? Nudge your name and say, don't do me like that. I need all the joy I can get. I don't need no more sour folk around me. I don't need nobody coming in here like a stick in the mud. I don't need no wildflowers. I don't need no cold disposition. I don't need to hug you and feel like I've been stabbed by 100 knives. I don't need to look at you and you roll your eyes at me. I don't need to try to get close and you keep on sliding down so far that you slid right off the pew. I need some folk in my life that's going to bring me some joy. I need some people who are not trying to be synthetic in their happiness, but be sincere in their happiness. I want you to know that if indeed the joy of the Lord is your strength, both of us going to be made stronger together. I need you to know that when you celebrate, I'm going to celebrate with you. And when you cry, you're not going to cry by yourself. But I want you to know, beloved of God, that I'm writing you this letter because I need you to know how much you matter to me. And if don't nobody else tell you today, I'm going to look at you right now, look at you face to face and eye to eye and tell you that you make me happy. Yeah, I told you last week, you don't accidentally end up anywhere. You're on assignment every time you put one foot in front of the other. You can't ask God to bless every step you take and not know you're on a blessed assignment. You can't ask God to order your steps and put you in position so that you can be used by him and not recognize you're on assignment. You can't sit by folk and act like they're not sitting right there next to you. And every time somebody move, you move the other way. God is trying to show you something because your value is increased when you have value around you. You don't have money to be around money, but if you're around money, you got money. And you don't have to try to be the center of attraction when you're in a room full of beautiful flowers. You just got to recognize that you're just another part of this centerpiece, and you make this whole thing a little bit better. Look at your name and say, I make this look good. I tell you right now, because you're sitting by me, you look a whole lot better. When they take your picture, they're going to look and say, now who is that sitting next to you? When they remember this day, they're going to remember who clapped like you clap and smile like you smile. When we go back and reflect on this afternoon, I'm going to remember that when I glanced out of my peripheral vision, I saw you grinning and taking a sneak peek at all of this handsomeness and beauty because you realize that God put us together to make all of us look better. Thank God for making us look better. He said, listen, I want you to know that you make me happy. He reminded me, he said, listen, if you just give you a little background, I'll move along quickly here. The letter arrives at a most opportune time because John recognized that the church they were in had some problems. Can I tell you that every church got problems? Can I tell you that every church got problems? Miss McKenzie has advised me not to say it. But had she not advised me not to say it, I was going to ask, are you the problem? Because people can be problematic. So John writes the letter because Geis's church is plagued with problems. He said, listen, and I want you all to know that no matter what is going on in the church, God is still the church. Yeah, can I drive by right there for a minute? He wanted him to understand. He said, listen, whatever's happening is happening because of people. And maybe if we worked on our relationships, we could change people. Let me show you what I mean there. How many of you are willing to admit that when certain people come around, it just changes your disposition? Amen. Have you ever had somebody walk in and say, I'm so glad you're here. I don't know what to do. And you say, well, what was the problem? Child, it was so cold in here. You could cut the tension with a knife. But now that you're here, the disposition and the temperament of the room has changed. You indeed have brought joy into this arena. And so he said, listen, again, he says, I want you to know that there are some problems in the church. He said, but listen, you are the beloved of God. And do understand that when people call your names like that, doesn't it just do something to you? Let me see if I can dance around with you for a minute. How many of y'all got nicknames? Nicknames. Amen. Come on, raise your hand. Don't make me call them because I know some of them. How many of you got pet names? You know, you got little names. Let me see, ladies. Let me see if I can get the ladies to help me. I'm just about to the point where I can make my noise here. How many ladies been called honey and sugar and dumpling and all that kind of stuff like that? Amen. Of them ladies, okay, some of y'all ladies got a problem. I mean, what is he calling you, baby? What is he saying? Does he call you sugar, baby, honey bunch? What's that song? Sugar pie, honey bunch. You know I'm weak for you. Can't help myself. Oh, I'm a fool. You know that. Yeah, come on. Ladies, y'all wishing he did, didn't you? Listen, if he didn't, when you get home today, say, Pastor has advised that you give me a pet name. You better call me something besides, hey, you. So the name, all right, get in trouble if you want to. The name, he said, listen, I called him beloved. That means something. Listen, when people call you something special, something that is attributed to you, something that's just their little thing. How many of y'all got that little name, that little secret that's just between you and somebody? You know when they call you, you know who it is. You hear that, you know somebody knows something. And so what he says to him, he said, beloved, he said, listen, my friend, my brother, elect of God, listen, it's the language that makes the difference. It's how you talk to people, but not only how you talk to them, Kirk, is what you say to them when you talk to them. And he calls him friend. He said, listen, you matter to me. He said, and I want you to know that when I'm thinking about you, this is how I think about you. How many of you have ever been spoken to by somebody and you can tell when they got a little heat in that thing? You can tell when they got a little fire in their belly. Come on and wave back at me. You can tell by the way they pick up the phone and by the way the letter goes that they're trying to say something. But I thank God for John today, because what John is saying to him is that I care about you. I love you, and I don't want you to not know I love you. How many of you have ever wondered if somebody loved you? Have you ever wondered how people really feel about you? It creates an emptiness within you. It creates some apprehension on your part. How many of you have ever really wanted to extend yourself to certain people, but they are so blocked up and so angry and frustrated? How many of you ever wanted to go over and give them that hug that you know they really needed, but you're afraid you'll come back with a headless horseman mentality? How many of you have ever tried to say something nice to somebody and they took your nice and turned it into nasty and made you feel bad, and then you treated the next person with ill report? But let me tell you something, beloved of God. You're too good for that. You're too loved by God for that. You're too awesome in the power of God for that. Don't you never let nobody take the sugar out of your honey. Don't you never let nobody take the blessing out of your kisses. You got to remember that greater is he that is in me. And what John says to him is absolutely necessary. He said, because of who you are and because of how I feel about you, I don't ever want you to not know that somebody loves you. I don't care if everybody else turns on you. I don't care if you ain't got no money. I don't care if you lost your job. I don't care if you made a mistake. I love you just because of who you are, and loving you makes me feel better. He said, listen, I want you to understand that whatever the condition of your outer man, I love you for who you are on the inside. Amen. Look at your name and say, you got something good on the inside. Yeah. He reminded me, he said, listen, people are talking about you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen. He said, people are talking about you. How many know people are just talking about you? Especially you and you and you. He said, listen, I'm almost there. He said, people are coming back from way over yonder. and get back to my place. It's gotten back to my ear. How many of y'all ever had somebody start a conversation by telling you, well, it has come to my attention? Look at them and say, you just nosy. That's, ain't no way in the world everybody telling you everything. You solicited some of this information. He said, listen, people are coming back traveling and they are talking about you. He said, people are saying that you are doing well. You know what I like about this? It's right in the text. He said, please understand that even in the old days when folk didn't have smartphone, texting, and email, folk told what they saw. Folk told what they heard. And John says about Gaius, he said, listen, they're coming back saying that you're doing well. How many just want to do well? How many know you got to be careful who goes back with the message? How many of y'all ever had somebody walk up to you and say, somebody told me you had died? Y'all ever had that happen to you? Where you at? Raise your hand. Let me see who that is. I'll vouch for you was alive. You ever had somebody come and say, I heard you been sick. I heard thus and thus. See, people talk. But you got to be careful who delivers the message. And you got to be careful, beloved of God, that you live in such a way that the message is good. Yeah, go back and tell them, John, you remember John. John, when he was on his ministry or mission, he was out there and folk went back and said, man, this fool out here living in the woods, dressed in clothing, unbecoming. He's eating the wrong food. You know, people were talking. John didn't tell them to say nothing. They just said it. And that's what's going on here in the letter. He said, listen, they're coming back, but they say you're doing good. How many of y'all remember going away from home for the first time and wanting to send a letter back to the home folk? Just to let them know you're doing good. You know, dear mom and dad, arrived in Tupelo well. The train ride was a little bumpy. My chicken sandwiches got cold. The salad was too hot to eat later on, but I've arrived at my location and I'm doing all right. Please send money. You ever noticed when folk go there, always want you to send money? They're doing, he says, so please understand that they were coming around. And here's what was happening. These traveling saints, Sandra, would go to different places. And because there were no Holiday Inns and Hiltons and Hamptons and stuff like that, they would stay with other believers. But see, here's what happened. They would put the word out where it's good to stay and where it's not so good. So you had people showing up to church saying, well, you know, I had some guests come by the other day, some travelers of the way, and they stayed with me. And other people, yeah, I had some guests come by. And then you had them two or three of you said, don't nobody ever stop at my house. I wonder why. Can I drive up in your yard for a minute? Can I tell you that if don't nobody never come to see you, that might be a bad sign. I know some of y'all are thinking, but I live so far out and it's inconvenient. No. Gas ain't that high no more. I mean, your phone, you know, I've heard people say, well, child, my phone don't never ring. Well, wouldn't be bragging about that. I've had my email account for 12 years and I ain't never got nothing in my inbox. Well, I put my number up on the church overhead and still my phone is not ringing. Don't look at nobody. Travelers would move around and they would stay in places. And so they depended on the love and reception of other Christians. And I believe, Brother Jesse, the same spirit ought to live in our church today. that people ought to want to congregate to you. I watch y'all. I'm just about finished. I watch y'all during the fellowship moments. I watch y'all during the worship. And some of us will try to pretend as if we don't mind being on these little islands of isolation and that we have insulated ourselves against the incendiary thoughts and thoughts of others. But I'm here to tell you now, you want to be hugged by somebody. You want to be loved. You got to listen. Stop thinking that because nobody's coming around that's all right. No, it ain't all right. You ought to be overwhelmed with hugs and kisses, and you ought to be loved by folk as we're moving around. Listen, we're right here in this room together, and if we can't walk across the aisle to greet you, that's a bad sign. And so what he says is, listen, your report matters in relationship. That's subject number one. The report matters based on your relationships. And so you've got to learn, beloved of God, that if you want to have friends, you've got to start being friendly. It's right there in the Word of God. He said, listen, beloved, think it not strange now that nobody hangs out with you. Nobody wants to be your buddy. Nobody wants to be your pew partner. You're the only one sitting on a pew with isolation like you got Ebola or something. I'm here to tell you now that the report of relationship does matter. Why? Because relationships become resources in the body of Christ. Because when we know we can relate to one another, we can use one another in a positive way to grow in life. Help me, somebody. Because I'm here to tell you now, you might be sitting to the person that can bless your life just right now. You might be sitting to the person that has a hookup with somebody to help you with your hookup. Somebody sitting next to you knows about a job that's tiring, but if they don't have no relationship with you, you're not going to get into that resource. You sitting by somebody that can recommend a physician that helped their family member with their condition when their condition was catastrophic and dangerous. They have some relationship with somebody who can help you with your children. They can help you with your marriage. They can come by and help you cut down that tree. They can come by and help you do some things. Y'all ain't talking back to me. But see, you can't sit here with your arms folded up trying to act like you all sophomoric and you'd rather live your life in singular terms. I'm here to tell you now, everybody gonna need somebody. And if the report on you is that you mean-spirited and don't know how to love nobody and you don't want nobody in your little circle and you done put up a no trespassing sign and you got a moat with alligators in it, ain't nobody gonna go through all that to get to you. You better put that sign away. You better cover up that moat and learn how to love somebody, because the report on your relationship is being spread all over the congregation. And when people can recognize you by the way you walk in the back of your head, that's a bad sign. But he says to him, people are talking about you and they say you some kind of nice fella. They say that you have hospitality in your bones. They say that you don't mind welcoming folk into your little circle and you are doing all right in the body of Christ. Look at your name and say, I like that. He said, listen, because please understand that when he talks to him, watch this, Lewis, it's given away in the first line of the text, because his salutation to him, that's big words, Miss Scott, I knew you'd like that. I put your name by Miss Scott, gonna like this. His salutation was sincere. Can I tell you right now, beloved of God, that your word is your bond, and whatever you say to people ought to be sincere. In fact, the Bible reminds us that your yes ought to really mean yes, and your no ought to really mean no. Let me see if I can drive by Jennifer and get me some support here. How many of you ever had somebody in the church start speaking to you and you know from word one, this ain't going to be nothing but a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know that what they're saying is not genuine, but you stand there and smile and say, yeah, thank you very much. But his salutation is sincere. He calls him friend because he is his friend. He calls him brother because he is his brother. He calls him beloved because he is beloved. And I need you to understand, beloved of God, that when you say something out of your mouth, it ought to start in your spirit. Because whatever is in you ought to be stirred up by the love of God. Help me, somebody. I'm here to help you right along through here, because you do understand, beloved of God, that you got to live a tempered life. You got to understand, beloved of God, that you can't just go around saying anything. You got to have some temperament in your life. Look at your name and say, tone it down or turn it off. You got to understand, beloved of God, that because You have a reputation. That's number two that goes with relationship. You have a reputation that will be regarded. I'm here to tell you now that you should not be known as the viper of the church. You should not be known as the mean-spirited jackhammer of the church. You shouldn't be known as one who goes around tearing down everything we're trying to build up. Every time we build up something, you tear it down. Every time we start a ministry, you kill it. Every time we get guests, they won't come back. You got to know that your reputation is being regarded. But not only is it being regarded, it's being reported. Look at your name and say, I'm going to have to tell on you. Listen to me. I'm going to have to tell because you're not doing it the way we want it done. You can't keep on messing up what we're trying to build up. You can't keep running off folk. You got to learn how to love your neighbor. You got to understand that because your name is on our rolls, you got to do relationship like we do. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, neighbor, if you're going to ride with us, you got to ride like us. He reminded me, he said, listen, because I'm sincere. He said, listen, I call you friend because I trust you as a friend. But then the second point to the sub point is, he said, that your standing is spiritual and strong. I really feel my hip long through here, Deacon Anderson. He said, your standing is spiritual and strong. In other words, you're not just hanging around the church Sunday after Sunday. You're doing the work of the Lord. You're not just sitting around waiting on stuff. You're helping us build up the faith. He said, you have a strong standing. And notice what he said. He said, I hope it's well with you as much as it is in your spiritual life. Look at your name and say, there's more to you than that. There's a spiritual connotation to every life. And can I tell you, when you build up your spiritual life, you're building up a mighty good life. I want to help somebody along through here, because what John says is that as you're working in the body of Christ, you're being stirred into good works. Look at your name and say, unto good works. Why? Because I believe God is calling us to a place where we're going to do even greater things. Look at Brookville on October the 5th in 2014, but look at us again in 2015, and can you testify that we've been stirred unto good works? In fact, we've come a mighty long way in the Lord, because there are those who are stirred unto good works, and they've promised him that they would serve him and stand strong for the Lord. And so he says to him, people are starting to talk about you, and they're saying that you're doing a mighty good work in the kingdom. They're saying that you don't have idle hands. They're saying that you're not stirring up mess. They're saying that you're always on point and you're focused in your agenda. They're saying that you keep God high and lifted up. They're saying that you're a friend of the cross. They're saying that you know how to treat people. They're saying that you keep on supporting ministry. They're saying that you're walking by faith and not by sight. They're saying that you got your act together. And so I want to tell somebody here now that if you really want your neighbor to be happy, you got to stand strong in your faith and make sure you're stirring up good works. They're saying that you still got your eyes set on the prize, that you've come too far to turn back now. They're saying that you got your hand in a winding chain and you've made up your mind that for God I live and for God I'll die. And I'm so glad to tell you that I think that's good news. But then he says one more thing as I get ready to leave you alone. Not only does the salutation sound sincere, not only is he talking about being strong and stirred up, but he reminds him that your salvation is something else. He said that since you've been saved, I said, since you've been saved, you got a whole new walk. Since you've been saved, you got a new attitude. Since you've been saved, you don't look like you used to look. You don't sound like you used to sound. He said, your faithfulness is being talked about everywhere. Folks are saying you ought to see him now. Look at your name and say, neighbor, if my friends could see me now, they would not believe what God has done. I've come a mighty long ways, and I thank God that my old things have passed away and all things are now new. I thank God that I don't talk like I used to. I don't go where I used to go, but I thank God. I said, I thank God for his son Jesus, because when Jesus came in my life, he picked me up. He turned me around. He made everything all right. Anybody know he'll make it all right? He said, your salvation is being reported, that you're a real somebody in the kingdom of God. And I'm so glad that you held on and you wouldn't let go. I'm so glad that you've come this far by faith and got a made up mind. Look at your name and say, neighbor, you're going to have to excuse me now, but I'm getting ready to testify that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would have been dead and sleeping in my grave. But I thank God that I was faithful. I thank God that I made it through my storms. I thank God that I kept on swimming. I didn't give up. I thank God that he gave me you. And because of you and along with us, it's going to be all right. Can I get somebody to tell somebody that since I've been saved, it's people like you that make my life better since I've been saved. And coming down to the church, when I see you on Sunday morning, it gives me joy. I feel better when I'm in the company of saints. I feel better when we lift him up together, when we sing praises, when we do our little dance, when we wave our hands. I feel better in the company of saints that know the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I feel better when I call on the Lord and you remind me that great is he, and the Lord is my king, and the Lord is my rock, and the Lord is my bridge, and the Lord is my help. I feel better when you encourage me and tell me to run on, tell me to hang in there, tell me to keep on trying. You bless my life because he blessed your life. And because of Jesus, we gonna be all right. Can you tell your neighbor, neighbor, because of Jesus, we gonna be all right. Won't he make it all right? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Ain't God all right? Won't he bless you? Did he pick you up? Did he turn you around? Did he give you joy? Did he give you peace? Did he give you love? Say yeah. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I got it, I got it. I got it, I got it. God made it all right. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. You make me happy. That's why when I come to church, I like fellowship. He said, your salvation is what made the difference. Because he saved us. He saved us. He said, you know, when they talk about you, it makes me happy. How many of you ever had to defend a friend? Somebody was talking about your friend. And you say, what you say? No, say that again. That's my friend. Don't let you talk about my friend like that. But then on the other side, how many of you heard somebody talking about your friend? And you know they were right. Your testimony was, well, they don't need me saying that. I mean, they're right, they're right. Look at your name and say, neighbor, make them wrong about you. They can't say nothing good about you. Make them tell a lie. John says to Galatians, he said, listen, you're doing all right, man. And can I get one witness that would just let somebody on your pew or within the area that you're in know that it sure would be nice if every now and then somebody would just remind me or encourage me that I'm doing all right. If you can just remember, beloved of God, that what you say to people matters. I told you last week, if you just walk up to somebody and say, you are my sunshine,
They're going to say, say what? I didn't know you thought about me like that.
How many of you feel better when folks say something nice to you like that? It's make you feel a little better, don't it? Fellas, can I help y'all today? When you're sitting around chilling watching the football game, and the little missus is down in the kitchen or down the hall or whatever, just holler at her, hey, baby. She going to get mad because she think you wanted to bring something. She ain't going to answer the first time. She going to be in there cutting up collard greens. I'm baby, mom. Baby, what? Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord's here? You know how, y'all know how we do. Because we don't know how that thing going to go. And she going to come down and say, come here a minute. What do you want? I'm busy. Come on, come here a minute. Lord, I ain't got time to be playing. Come here. No, baby, Sherry, come here a minute. And you can tell how she coming. You can sit and say, boy, she mad as a wet hen right now. And when she comes, she going to stand in the door and go, what? So, you know I love you. Don't be playing with me. I'm doing stuff up there. And you know, that's how they doing it. Don't be playing with me. What you want for real? No, baby, I'm serious. And fellas, you got to get this look. You got to say, no, I'm serious. I just thought about how many times I didn't tell you. And I want to tell you right now that I love you. You make all the difference in the world. And I just wanted you to know, no strings attached, baby. I'm not going to let a moment go by that I don't say I love you. And she going to start melting. She going to start. She going to go from there. Stop playing. No. And she felt that you got to get how much longer is it going to be before we eat around here? But I'm just saying, you know, you really are going to find out that simple things you say matter. He said, beloved, he said, brother, the sentiments are sincere. And when you say that, people around you get happy, will make you happy. If you really want to have joy, give joy. Trust me in this. Part two in love. I've got one or two more. I'm going to help you with it. But I'm telling you now, when your salutations are sincere and you can see that people are being stirred and made strong in their spirit, you ought to say something. Say, you know, you're growing. That's all he was telling you. He said, man, people are coming back saying, you are growing. He didn't know whether John was watching or whether people had told John. But when he got this letter, I bet he said, man. See, because sometimes people don't recognize the good and the impact. But that's why we're in fellowship together, so we can help each other. I told you last week that Miss Sophia made it clear that Miss Celia changed her whole life. One day in that store, she turned it all around. She said, I see you and I know there's a God. Somebody need to see the God in you. Don't you think because you ain't no deacon or no pastor or no leader that ain't no God need to be reflected out of you? Yes, it should. Miss Celia didn't preach no sermon. She didn't take no text. All she did was loved on her. She helped her. Old folks say, you hope me. And then again, your salvation ought to be sure. You didn't get saved for no show. You got saved because he paid. Let's stand on our feet. We got to go. It's time for y'all to go now. The Cowboys play at 1 o'clock. We got national coverage. They need my prayers. I love you in Christ Jesus, and I want you to know today that you are significant to this cause. To our guests today, thank you so much for coming. God bless you. We appreciate you. But I don't think you're here by accident either. I think you brought something. And we are to give you something. I thank God that you make me happy. It's a simple happy. There's no exchange of goods or services. It's just your faces. Raven's face and Susan's face, Amanda's face, Jennifer's face. All of these faces, all of this simple love makes me happy. My day is full now. Just because you smile. Oh, two or three of y'all rolled your eyes, but I thought your contacts was out of whack. You was just trying to get them back straight. But look at you now. What are you saying to us, Pastor? Here's my summary. When the Lord saves you, you have an assignment. And if you have not been saved, you're missing out on an assignment. And so if you're here today, you've not accepted the Lord, Jesus the Christ, you ought to come quickly. There's work to be done. Nudge your neighbor and tell him you can make a difference. Amen. Now, if you're too far from anybody to nudge, slide on down there and tell them, look here, I got to tell you something. Man said you can make a difference. And right now, I need a ride home, so that's a difference you can make right there. A little low on gas when I came today. Listen. I told you before, there's a simple nursery rhyme. Sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I just lived by that for a lot of years when I was kind of depressed about simple things. I let it get to me every now and then, but I could hear that song just as good. And that's where I kept going. Because one or two people every now and then would just come along with their words of encouragement. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, it ain't so bad? How about it could be worse? And you would say stuff like, it is. They say, oh, no, keep on living. And then when they told you how bad they had, you'd be like, ooh, better you than me. But he loves you. And you ought to love because he loves you. Make it your business today. I told you last Sunday I gave you an assignment to tell people they were your sunshine and that kind of thing. This week's assignment is make at least three people in your presence happy everywhere you go. Just make them happy. Sometimes you can just look at folk and that'll do it. Yeah, some of y'all got them comedic looks. And people look at you and say, you know, you funny. Yeah. What do you mean? You trying to be serious. They look at you and go, yeah. So we thank God for you today. But if you've not accepted the Lord's salvation, would you come very quickly? If you need restoration in your life, that's the God that we serve. I really need God to do something in my life every day. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, let's give God some praise together. Thank you, Sister Walker. She believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. She has accepted him as the Lord and Savior of her life. And she desires to be baptized into the body of Christ. Come on, we can do a little better than that. It is a good thing. It is a good thing. Amen. So we thank God for her. You sit over there, baby. Amen. Sit right there. Come on, is there another? Sometimes, beloved of God, we don't recognize what God is doing in our midst, and it takes us a while. But I'm always encouraged when young people come to Christ. And I tell you, listen, yeah, amen, I am. But I'm also just head over heels when older people come too. Amen. So we thank God for this beautiful young lady and her desire. She has a sincere heart. She was honest. And I thank God for honesty. And so we're going to take care of her desires. In fact, you picked a good Sunday because second Sunday is coming quickly. And you won't be able to leave town before then. So we're going to make sure we take care of you. Young Miss Rogers is a part of our family. Family's been in our church a long time. So she's not a stranger to us. So we're going to take care of it. Amen. Again, if you're here today, and I know you're ready to go, but I want to give you an opportunity to touch the hem of his garment. Whatever you need, the Lord's got it. And he won't deny you any good thing. So don't walk out of here today without letting your request be made known to the Lord. Again, we solicit that you would join us in prayer by making your request available. Put them on a card, drop them in the box. I got the key. Nobody gets to go in the box but me. But I like looking in the box and finding some things. So don't be in a hurry that you can't leave your prayer request, because I love to pray for you. But God will restore you. So if you feel a little tattered, a little worn, the journey's been fraught with danger, God says, I got you. Can I tell you some good news? You're still alive. No matter how bad you thought it was, you're still alive. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, you're doing all right. You're doing all right. It ain't as bad as you think it is. Amen. You know, there's always somebody who's going to try to outdo your bad. You know, you say, I broke my finger. I broke my arm. You know, no matter what you say, they got to up you a little bit. And sometimes that's all right, because you can look around and go, oh, thank you, Lord. So we invite you to join with us in prayer. I want you to pray for Miss Rogers. Lord, do something great in her life. Anybody remember being 12? I told her she's going to have to get a job. She said no. We're excited for her. Would you pray for Miss Rogers? Would y'all lift her up in your prayers? Amen. We're going to take care of baptizing you, okay? Everything's going to be all right. They're going to look out for you, okay? It's a good thing. It's a good life. I promise you that. Amen? All right. Grab somebody's hand that's standing near to you. The prayers of the righteous has been declared to make it happen. Squeeze your neighbor's hand and look at him and say, I need a make it happen prayer. I got some things in my life that I've been waiting on God to answer and waiting on God to deliver. And so I'm holding your hand today by faith. The Bible says that as touching and agreeing,
You don't have to tell your neighbor all your business. You don't have to give them a detailed list. But the spirit of agreement is necessary. And I tell you now, beloved of God, that when you hold somebody's hand, you're connected to their heart. And the heart matters. And so when I stand with you today and I say that I need a make it happen prayer, I'm depending on you to keep up your end of the bargain. Because I'm going to pray for you. I don't necessarily know your name. I don't know where you come from. I don't know where you're going, but I know where you are right now. And so we're going to start right here, right now, that God would begin to do a great thing in your life. Now, what I need you to do, neighbor, while we're holding hands together, is get your affairs in order. Place on the balcony of your life that which is the most needful thing. Now, before you start talking about cars and money and houses, your salvation is important. So I need you to be able to testify that you're saved. Your sanctification is important. I need you to be able to say that I'm living according to and in line with the will of God. Your spirit life. So you see now that as you begin to get your affairs in order, you realize that these mundane material things are not really the biggest issue, are they? I need Jesus. See, when I got Jesus, he's got everything. And he makes it all good. He says, I will, because he can and he does. And so, beloved of God, don't fret over these small things. These momentary light afflictions have come to pass. I'm praying for you that you would do well. That you prosper in your soul, that it goes well with you. That in the name of Jesus, you be made whole. That old things pass away and all things become new. And as you begin your new life in Christ Jesus, he will make it better by and by. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this hand that I hold. The needs, Lord, have been reprioritized. Now, Lord, we seek more than anything our salvation in Christ Jesus, that we would be saved. We seek a greater sanctification, that we would be holy. We seek a more sound spirit life, that we'll know how to go in and how to come out. And then, Lord, we do what you declared should be done. When we keep the kingdom first, you'll add all those other things. In fact, we heard our elder brother Jesus say that you already know what we have need of. Shelter and shoes and clothing and food. You know what we need. But because we have our priorities straight now, we know, God, that you have made our priorities your priority. You will not lack in us for any good thing. You'll not leave us nor forsake us. And we'll never stand alone. For our sons and our daughters, our spouses, on the job and on the way home, as we rise, as we fall, our trust is in you. Heal those that are sick among us. We lift up special prayers for Sister Dominique Crawford, Sister Hilda Robinson, Brother Jesse Davis. Oh God, there are so many concerns. But these, Lord, we pray that you answer our prayers. Sister Lolita Penn, these, Lord, we pray that you answer our prayers. For as we come in and go out, Lord, we may not know how to, but we know who we can depend upon. Oh God, we lift up our sons and daughters. In colleges and universities and military affairs, we lift up our president. We lift up our elected officials. We lift up our pastors, our deacons, our ministers. We lift up the hand that we're holding. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And the people of God said, amen. Bless your neighbor. Hug them. Tell them, you make me happy, and my joy is